So if you wanted to hear probably a more detailed exegesis of the text, that would be a place to go also with the assistance of the Westminster Larger Catechism. I think it was the second question and answer. And actually, interestingly, Romans 11:36 was our very first scripture we preached in the Larger Catechism series about glorifying God. So those two scriptures were the very first two of the Larger Catechism years ago. But anyhow, we turn to Psalm 19 again. It's been a while, though we're very familiar with it. Remember, the second part of this psalm sings about the revelation to us of special revelation, God's scripture given to us by the Holy Spirit through many different men, and his law in particular. But before we get to that, the first part is celebrating general revelation, the witness of nature and creation all around us. And it's a glorious creation. It has an implication on the fact that everyone knows that God exists. Everyone knows we're accountable to God, Romans 1 and 2. But for Christians, it particularly gives us this opportunity to just see God's testimony and witness and just praise him all the more and worship him and be thankful for him. Thankful for his constant presence. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, the first part about general revelation. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So we're going to be looking at the witness of the heavens, and in particular, the witness of this sun that's spoken of in the last few verses. I was at Imperial Beach yesterday afternoon with the family. We were just running out for just making sure we get a couple of minutes of fresh air and some time together in God's glorious creation. The ocean, just looking out over the ocean is such a witness. I've thought often about wanting to think of some scriptures that would be a good witness to that. But what stuck out to us yesterday was the sunset, at least to me. Fernanda and I and Isaac and Gabriel, we went ahead to the end of the pier, and we saw this big, large, orange glowing orb sinking beyond the horizon with all the colors intensely shimmering off the Pacific Ocean water. And as always, it's just glorious. It's almost so bright it can hurt your eyes, right, if you look right into it. It's powerful. It was really neat. Fernanda captured a picture of us. We had been looking at a seagull, and one of the boys, you know, they can't risk spooking the seagulls. And so we were really close to it, but just as she was taking our picture, it had lifted up into flight, and the wings were just out, and they were just captured in this amazing pose, and the light was just kind of radiating from the sunset into those wings, and it was just really, really beautiful. I found the experience such a blessing, first of all, because it's always beautiful. I mean, do we ever tire of a sunset? And do we ever tire of a sunset over the Pacific Ocean? But I was especially blessed to think about something else related to the sunset, that it's consistent. How many sunsets have I watched go down over my life? And there's going to be another one tomorrow. There's always a sunset. There's always a sunset. We don't always have the opportunity to go and watch it, especially in the places that maximize it, but there's always a sunset. Every day, the sun's setting speaks to us about God's marvelously working in our present and in our life. And every sunset points to another tomorrow with the same expectation. Isn't it wonderful? You know, we all like a bit of consistency and regularity, something we can count on and just, you know, rely on. And the sun is one of those amazingly reliable things. Now, also the moon, although it can move around. But tonight, if you take a look right there, go ahead and do it. Look at that gorgeous, maybe a full moon tonight, I think, if not extremely close. Very, very bright. It's really cute right now. Every time Gabriel sees the moon, he kind of goes crazy. Woo! moon, 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 yay. When we were driving here, yay, you know. And it's just, that's another thing the Lord gives us. All of these things we know from Genesis he gave to be markers of the seasons, just a testimony. And even this moon is bearing witness to the sun. It's the sun's reflection, right? The heavens are daily declaring God's glorious presence to us, and the sun is its special messenger. I give that to you as the main idea of this text. The heavens are daily declaring God's glorious presence to us, and the sun is its special messenger. If we'll pay attention to the message, there's much blessing to be had. Now again, we're talking about general revelation, the witness of creation. The witness, especially, we see in the text tonight, of the heavens. They have something to say to us. Notice how often the idea of something being communicated, something to be heard, is expressed in these verses. In verse 1, there's the idea of declaring and proclaiming. In verse 2, there's this speaking of uttering speech and revealing knowledge. Verse 3, the voice of its speech and words are not unheard anywhere. Again, Romans 1 and 2 would thus remind us that general revelation leaves us all without excuse. We all have the work of the law written in our heart. We all want to suppress the truth of righteousness in unrighteousness. We want too often want to give glory to the creature instead of the creator. But we deep down, we all know it all witnesses to God. He's given himself a witness. We need special revelation to be saved. But we have enough to know of general revelation that God is there, the only true God, and we're accountable to him. In verse 4, their words reach the worldwide inhabitants. There's no place that their witness doesn't reach. And then verses 4 to 6, I'd like to focus on with you this evening. The sun gives us special witness in its race across the heavens each day with its spectacular start and its phenomenal finish. It's familiar. It's regular. It's a predictable activity with amazing effects. And over the months and seasons and years, it shows that God is presiding over us and providing for us. Matthew 5, verse 45, Jesus says, "For God maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good." Psalm 50, verses 1 and 2, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined." Especially, this is a witness to the church. The sun's daily rising, racing, and setting is a message from the Messiah, who is the bright day star and sun rising with healing in his wings. Every day he's reminding us of himself with all these scriptures that speak of him in that kind of a metaphor. Every day he's reminding us that we have an eternal day coming for us, when actually there'll be no sun, because the light of the Father and Jesus the Son will be our light. The daily activity of the sun rising in the east, racing overhead, and setting in the west gives us a witness. Jew and Gentile. Isaiah 45 verses 5 and 6 reads, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." This rising of the sun and the setting in the west is a witness to God, the only true God. Malachi verse 1:11, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." God is reminding us with the rising and the setting of the sun every day, and as it races across the sky as if it's on a race to get there every day, as the Psalm 19 kind of speaks of, God is giving us a witness to himself. He alone is Lord. We are wise and blessed to trust in him, to give our day and our night to him. This daily cycle, he's daily taking care of us. Now, technically, we know the sun sits still and the earth rotates as it revolves around the sun. But we understand the metaphor, and we still speak like that. This is nothing new. We still speak about the sun as if it's rising, and if it's setting, and as if it's moving. We even have pictures, especially for little kids, right? Little things to color with sun with a smile, and sometimes it's wearing sunglasses itself, right? We personify the sun, but we know that it's actually the earth that's moving. But that only further reminds us that God has got the whole world in his hand. Now think about this. The sun gives us 365 witnesses every year. Now, really, 730, right? Because it rises up and says, hello. And then it sets and says, I'll see you tomorrow. But then if you count the fact that Psalm 19 is speaking also about the fact that it's racing across the sky like a man running a race, 1,095 witnesses a year the sun gives us. Isn't that something? That repetitive thing. So much assurance that God is there and cares and is involved in our lives. It's a great thing, too. Think about this, that wherever you go around the globe, you ever find yourself traveling, even if it's to another part of the country. In the Delgados, not so long ago, they got to see the sun 3 hours before we got to see it. But it rises in the east there too, right? And sets in the west, right? You go over to some other part of the world. When we went to Australia, guess what happened there? The sun rose up in the morning, and then it settled at night from the east to the west every time. And it was there giving us light all day. So it doesn't matter where you go. You have the same witness from God. You never lose this witness. It follows you. This sun personified is racing after you with a witness every morning, day, and evening that God is God. His throne is in the heavens. There's no getting away from that. And isn't that a glorious, encouraging witness of God's omnipotence and providence? Is this not a cause for praise? The sunrise and the sunset every day. Isn't it just a cause for praise? Like every day we enjoy, at least most of us, I imagine we have our different rituals, but our morning cup of coffee. Isn't it nice just every day to be greeted by that kind of thing? Psalm 113, verses 2 to 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. What a helpful tool for us, which is, you know, if the heavens are declaring the glory of God with the sun kind of drawing our attention to it, what a glorious opportunity to remind us to praise the Lord every morning, noon, and night. At least three times a day, right? Scriptures speak about seven times, but at least three times a day. Isn't it really neat to think about? We have the sun as a witness and testimony and a motivation and impetus for us to just pause and smile and take in the warmth and the warmth of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be okay. Even if you miss the colorful start and finish, you still have the daily race of the sun that makes the whole earth glow during your day to remind you. Maybe you can't look at the sun once it's all the way up. It might blind you, right? But you can always see its effects everywhere. And that reminds you that you can trust that Jesus is working everywhere. You can see its effects, especially when we see the Spirit blowing leaves. The sun sets in the west. Again, it also daily rises over you in the east. A familiar friend, reminding you of God's glorious presence, providence, and promises that bring new mercy and joy every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He never leaves you in the dark for long. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. This morning, I was stopped in my tracks as I patched the kitchen window. It was like, wow, Lord, thank you. Yeah, this is what you want me to preach on today. Looking out my kitchen window over the mountains, I gazed upon a blazing pink and purple sunrise engulfing the mountains through the clouds. I mean, it was just as if it was everywhere coming in like the ocean mist at night. like a storm, but a storm of glorious sunlight coming through. You know, it's interesting, as it's working with the clouds in the morning, the word for glory in our text, as it usually is kabod, which is the glory cloud. The glory cloud of God's presence with his people. It was an almost overwhelming brilliance in its depth and width of range and color that penetrated the air. And you just knew day was dawning. It was like God was saying, good morning. I've already been up for a while. Nice to see you. Just as after he had said it, it was almost like he had said it last night as it was setting. Good night. I'll see you in the morning. Tomorrow is a new day, and I'll be there all day long. There's something wonderfully comforting about watching the daily witness of the sun about God's constant oversight and care. It's more like a whisper, really, isn't it? You could easily miss it for fear of busyness and distraction. But it is actually, it's practically screaming for your attention. It's practically screaming every day to give you assurance. And so, beloved, let the daily sunrise and sunset speak to you. And that's the message for you this evening, tomorrow morning, and during noon, at lunch, and each day after. Let the daily sunrise and sunset speak to you. Let us pray. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We do thank you for the witness of the stars and the moon and the sky and the sun. We do thank you for this friend, as it were, every day greeting us, every day taking us through the day, every night bringing us to our rest, reminding us of you, Lord Jesus Christ, the day star. Reminding us of you, the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in your wings, bringing us to that eternal day waiting for us, an eternal day of everlasting light. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the light of the world. Shine through us more with this hope, Lord. Let us look for the sunrise and the sunset. Let us watch it race across the sky every day, and let us hear. Let us hear more clearly. Let us respond more joyfully. Let us cheer the sun on as those who cheer on the running of a man in a race. Let us be encouraged to know it'll be the same thing tomorrow and the next. Oh, there may be clouds or storms, other things that may block aspects of this, but yet there'll always be light. So, Lord, we know there are difficult moments where we may not see you as clearly, but there's always light. You're always present. You're always working. Oh, Lord, let us see your light that we would see light. Put light in our eyes that the whole body would be full of light. Let us look and watch the sun. Let us look and gaze at the moon and get excited like a little child and say, yay, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we close praying. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.